Louise, thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Labor Radio. Once a month, CKUT dedicates an hour of its community news program to dealing with worker issues. And this month, we've decided to talk about the elections as we're fast approaching a federal elections here in Canada. Louise, I just wanted to introduce you for our listeners. Not only are you working as the communications representative for QP, but you're also involved with a number of alternative media organizations. Could you talk a bit about your background and the work that you do before we jump right into the issues here?
Sure. Well, I'm one of three communications representatives who works, we're national representatives who work in BC for the Canadian Union of Public Employees. But outside of QP, I have been doing a bit of work in the last few years with various alternative media organizations, including Co-op Radio, where I was on the board until a couple of weeks ago. I have just stepped back because things are really heating up in BC, and everybody needs to prepare for the onslaught of neoliberalism that we're going to try to eradicate, at least one step towards eradicating in the next election. I was also part of a group that started what we call the Pacific Center for Alternative Journalism. Now, PCAJ is in a bit of a dormant stage right now, but we're hoping to start doing a regular publication again in the fall.
One of the many benefits that come from alternative medias is having alternative perspectives. And so could you just provide us your sort of summary of what you've seen over the years of previous elections, of this current elections? What are the most often worker issues that get presented in forums like a federal elections? What most often have we heard these candidates debate about?
Well, I can't exactly say that we ever hear candidates really seriously discussing relevant issues that are really relevant for working Canadians. I mean, I would say that this particular election is a perfect case in point. I mean, even the issue of privatization is only skimmed. Even by the NDP, it's skimmed. I mean, what we hear the candidates saying that they're opposed to privatization, but everybody seems to be to resist talking about the details of what that resistance to privatization should really look like. And that's something that I find really distressing. You know, and I think that it's become more and more so over the years. I mean, I've certainly been through many, many federal elections. And, worker issues. I mean, we hear them talking about health care, sort of. You know, we never hear them talking about labor rights. We hear them all pumping up how, you know, employment rates have improved in the last, several years. But nobody talks about what the details of those increases in employment are all about. And again, you know, as much as when I'm at the polls myself, and I do go to the polls, and I do support candidates, I would be supporting the NDP. We know from past experience that when they're in government, they have trouble with some of these issues too.
That's one of the issues that I hope to bring up in the context of this conversation. Often you hear within election campaigns promises, but how do we as workers seek to understand those promises and make those promises relevant to our lives? But before we get into that, you brought up the onslaught of neoliberalism in Canada. That is, you said you're going to participate in a campaign being waged against that onslaught in BC. But given that we do have a situation where coast to coast, we have premiers of provinces who are handing down neoliberal reforms from the top to the bottom of all the structures and affecting all different types of workers throughout the sectors. We have workers being impacted at the provincial levels and at the federal levels by these policies of privatization. Can you talk about what kinds of discussion you would hope to see candidates have around privatization? You said they're skirting it a little bit. What kind of discussion would you hope to see candidates have about neoliberalism?
Well, first of all, I think that I would like to see more workers, more activist workers actually going out to some of these all candidates meetings and calling in to talk shows. And forcing the candidates to deconstruct what they mean when they're talking from a conservative perspective about two-tier health care and from the social democratic perspective on, on what they mean when they say they oppose privatization. I mean, I don't know, for example, the Romano report inside out, but my understanding from people who do know it quite well is that Roy Romano was not opposed to the privatization of many of the very basic services like cleaning and cooking and those kinds of things. So I think people need to get out to these all candidates meetings and call in to talk shows or write letters to the editors demanding answers to very specific questions like that. Because here in BC, and I know it's the same, I've been to Montreal a couple of times, to Quebec a couple of times in the last year, and with the Charest government, working people are being unbelievably threatened by the same kinds of actions that the neoliberals here in BC have been putting into place. And yet I have to say the difference between the way labor leadership has been handling the battle with the Charest government in Quebec is a demonstration of much more radical politics than what we've seen here in BC. But workers themselves have to be asking the questions, what does it mean when you say two-tier health care? Why is it that you say that if all health care is paid for by the government, where's the money for the profit margin in private sector care going to come from? Because workers have to know and make it clear that they know that it will come off of their backs. It'll come off of our backs. It'll come out of people's paychecks and out of people's working conditions.
Now, these are the impacts of privatization, but you had also said that there's absolutely no discussion of labor rights in this current federal election campaign.
Absolutely. I mean, but those two things are linked.
Can you explore that? Why the need for labor rights now at this time in Canada? Some people might be asking that question.
Why the need for labor rights?
Why the need for that discussion in the federal elections? What is the critical moment for you?
I understand that labor rights, by and large, unless you work for a federal institution, are provincial, right? So I do understand that. But I think that when we talk about the federal government funding or sending dollars to the provinces, we can be demanding that those dollars are tied to progressive policies. Mm-hmm. And, just like we've been utterly concerned about this North American Free Trade Agreement and the way that it has basically contributed to eroding worker rights by calling on governments to to flatten the costs of doing business in Canada. You know, we hear those expressions. What those expressions really mean are that wages need to be brought down in Canada in order to match the lower wages in other countries, including, by the way, the United States. So when I talk about the need for labor rights to be brought up in the context of this election, I mean, hardly anything has been said about the North American Free Trade Agreement, and that's a place where labor rights are very important. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if that's answering your question directly, but you know, it's hard because that's the thing about these elections is that you know, cut and dry isn't the order of the day, and there's not a lot of room for real discussion and exchange. You know, not in the media, not on the stages of the nation where people are supposed to gather to listen and to hear people debate. But I think as much as possible, you know, if working people can at least bring up questions, what about, you know, what about NAFTA? What about Section 11? What about, you know, the things that affect us every day in our lives? Then you start to see labor rights, privatization, you know, health and safety as part of labor, all those things, you know, meet, and they meet in the eyes of, they should be meeting in these places of discussion among these politicians. But, you know, I mean, I'm saying things that I feel very cynical about it all, really.
Well, Louise LeClaire, you're they're working now as a communications representative for QP.
Yeah.
But you've had a long experience in the labor movement being based in BC. And you yourself talked about your own commitment to going to the polls and voting. And yet you feel so cynical about the whole process,
well,
as I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, some of our listeners might feel an affinity for the situation that you find yourself in. But just to sort of share a bit about your strategy, perhaps you can tell us how you hope to maximize your own participation, how other workers might maximize their participation in these federal elections. How are you going about the process to ensure that you do have a role in this? But then how do you continue that beyond actual voting day?
Well, okay, that's really significant. And I think that question focuses on exactly the point of what you do after the elections. First of all, I happen to be really fortunate because I live in Libby Davies' riding. So it's not difficult. Libby Davies is the Member of Parliament for East Vancouver, and she's, I would say, one of the leading progressives in the House of Commons. She was a former city councillor in Vancouver. She is a grand supporter of both of working people and of people who are marginalized. She speaks and doesn't speak for, but communicates with and represents well the points of view of marginalized and working class people. So that makes it easy for me to say, I'm going out, I am actually participating in phoning and calling people and talking to people about why it's important to put progressive voices in the House of Commons. I mean, we've seen a total absence of progressives in the House of Commons in the last 15 years. Now, what happens once they get there is that it still is our responsibility to put pressure on them to speak up. I mean, if people are going to go represent so-called progressive points of view, get to the House of Commons or the legislatures, as we've seen happen in other cases, and then either be silent or, you know, or support the government in areas that that are anti-democratic and anti-worker, then it's not doing us much good. So we have to keep the pressure up once they get into the into these positions. And I so that's one strategy, but that I really, really firmly believe in. That too often, you know, we will work hard to get people elected, and then we forget about it. And we had a terrible example of that with two terms of the NDP government in British Columbia. I mean, in as much as they did a tremendous amount of good work, there were serious, serious problems. One of the things they did here was legislate school workers, you know, support staff back to work. And I happened to be working in that area at the time. I mean, it was tragic to see that happen. And yet, people were silent. There was so much silence around it. So, you know, I mean, across the board, people have to find their... people have to find their political roots and really put some energy behind it, because we live in a very political age, we live in a very political time, and if people allow a sense of hopelessness to take over, it's not going to get us anywhere.
Louise LeClaire is a communications representative for QP. She's based in British Columbia. Louise, before we let you go, I just want to get a final comment from you. You've talked about the threat of neoliberalism that exists from coast to coast in Canada. And as we do here on Off the Hour, and especially here within our Labour radio magazine, we've often posed the question asking what common front exists at the national level to fight against neoliberalism. What common front? Is this election an opportunity for that common front to build? And if it is or if it isn't, what's the next step beyond that?
Gee, you know, I wish I could say that I thought that federal elections were had the potential to become the base of a common front. I'm not sure that I believe that. In a sense, as much as everything that I've just said about getting involved and doing what you can and not shutting up afterward, but I really believe that common fronts come from a far more grassroots and alternative perspective. For example, I would think that the anti-poverty movements in Quebec, Ontario, and BC and other parts of the country are building into what could down the road be seen as a much more serious common front. You know, I think that we need to see more people, more working class people, more people who have jobs, who are working, who are unionized, putting their energy into supporting grassroots groups that really do have that potential to become what we call a common front. We haven't seen the kind of labor common front in British Columbia the way we've seen it in Quebec or even Newfoundland for that matter. Been a real struggle here for different elements of the labor movement to come together. I'm happy to say that I work for a union that went as far as it could in the recent battle with the provincial government. But believe me, it was definitely outside of the context of a real common front. When we looked at what happened in British Columbia around the end of April and the beginning of May in support of hospital workers, the real common front actually came from the grassroots itself. And I think that's where it's going to build from.
Louise, I want to thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Labour Radio.
Thanks a lot, Gretchen. Good luck.
If anyone would like to add their two cents on this elections, you can give us an email at laborshow@ckut.ca. Is there a common front and is it the elections? That's laborshow@ckut.ca. Labor without the U.